This is an iHeart podcast.
We got sold out by Republicans again. We'll talk about that. Carol Roth talks about inflation numbers. Julie Kelly with updates on all the legal things going on. My goodness, what a show tonight on I'm Right. All right, before we get to the spending, let's address what happened today. Alejandro Mayorkas being impeached. I'm not going to dwell on this. We've talked about this a lot, and we'll talk about it a lot more going forward. Just know that it's a good thing. Are we tangibly going to get something better? Are we going to get a new, better DHS secretary? No, the Senate's not going to remove Mayorkas, and even if they did, they'd put a new commie in there who wants to open the border too. But remember, the process is the punishment. Dragging him in front of TV cameras, forcing him to answer questions is a good thing. The communists only understand fear and pain. If we're visiting some of that on them, it's a good thing. All right? All right. You know, when and how you do a thing is so, so revealing. When and how you do a thing. If I get off the air tonight, finish up with TV, and I feel like having a glass of bourbon. If I go home, see my wife, hug my kids, and let's say I have a bottle of bourbon in the house, which actually I don't, but let's say I did, and I walked over there, wife, kids there, and I grabbed a bottle, poured a little bit in a glass, started sipping on a bourbon. Okay, that's one thing, whatever, having a bourbon after work. If I knock off here and I stop at the bar on the way home, I tell my wife, I'm gonna be late. I've got delayed at work, got some extra stuff to do. And I stop at the bar and start downing bourbons, sitting in the corner of the bar by myself, not telling anybody. That's probably an indication I have a problem, right? Remember when they passed Obamacare in the dark of the night? They did that for a reason. You hated it. Last night, the United States Senate did something treasonous. Republicans and Democrats came together in the United States Senate and put together a $95 billion bill, and not a single penny of it benefits you. Not one single penny. And that is exactly why they did it in the dark of the night. It's $60 billion for Ukraine, bunch of billions for Israel, bunch of billions for Taiwan. Everyone's got their thing. And before we get into the Ukraine stuff here in just a moment, I just want to point out, for no matter where you stand on the Israel-Hamas thing, the Israel portion of this may be the most disgraceful portion. Why? They're winning the war. They're in a better financial situation than our country, and they're dominating the war. And yet, we have to write them billions of dollars in checks, too? We fund wars we're losing. We fund wars we're winning. It's fund everything. Now, why do they do this? Why do they get together in the dark of the night and pass bills that don't benefit you at all? In fact, they don't even pretend. Why do they do this? Well, I thought what Ron Johnson had said here was pretty revealing.
We repeatedly talked about making Ukraine funding contingent on border metrics. You know, just like performance measurements in business, right? As the border was secured, you'd get $5 billion a month. I mean, we had it all laid out, had a proposal. It had a great deal of support in our conference. But what Mike pointed out is, unbeknownst to us at the time, McConnell told Lankford, that's not even on the table. He on his own, using his own authority, without telling the conference, even though he knew the conference supported tying border security or Ukraine funding to actually securing the border, McConnell just took that off the table. And that moment of leverage we had, where we could use Biden's desire for Ukraine funding to actually force him to use his executive authority to secure the border, has been lost.
That's quite a reveal. Mitch McConnell, the most powerful Republican in Washington, D.C., worked behind the scenes to make sure the border wouldn't be secured? That's freaking evil, right? Well, that brings me to the Republicans, 22 of them, Republicans in the United States Senate that voted for this. Why are they like this? Well, it's important to understand there are reasons why they're like this. First and foremost, these people were not mindful of America in the way you are. You know, we talk about Democrats and their lack of patriotism all the time, but the truth is these despicable swamp rats in the GOP, they're the exact same when it comes to patriotism. You are mindful of America. You care about America. You care about the American worker, the consumer. You care about gas prices, grocery prices. You care about other people not being able to make ends meet, can't afford the rent, gotta have a second job. That matters to you. These people never even think about that. It never occurs to them to think about that. They think about themselves and their power and their pocketbooks. They think, of course, about all that defense contractor money. I hope I get a Ukraine medal. But you, they never think about you, ever. It never occurs to them. And let's talk about you for a moment. And this is almost undoubtedly not going to apply to you specifically, but let's talk about another reason why they do these things. They're not afraid of us. When I say us, I'm talking about the GOP primary voter. They are not afraid of us. Because you can go down this list and look at all the low-T weenies in the GOP who voted for this crap. Cornyn, Romney, Thune, Tillis. I mean, go down the list. It's a who's who of GOP losers. Okay, so they're spineless losers who never think about America and they're not patriotic. Okay, let's just set that aside for a moment. Why aren't they afraid of you? Of me. Here's a list of the states where these people come from. Alaska, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Maine, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia. Now let's set Alaska aside. Those are the reddest states in the union. Percentage-wise? That's pretty much all of them. I mean, there are a couple that are left out there, but percentage-wise, those are some of the reddest states in the union. We're not talking about some Republican that managed to get elected in Maine somewhere. We're not talking about Susan Collins here. We know Susan Collins is going to suck. Our reddest states are states that are allegedly the furthest to the right. They're the ones whose senators just voted to betray us in the middle of the night. They're the ones whose senators feel totally comfortable getting up and saying what Mitt Romney says right here. Same thing Chuck Schumer says, you'll notice.
The vote we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
Today we witnessed one of the most historic and consequential bills to have ever passed the Senate.
The most important thing I'll ever do as a senator is give money to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Why isn't Mitt Romney afraid of losing a primary? Why isn't John Cornyn afraid of losing a primary? North Carolina, North Dakota, South Dakota. Why are these blood-red state senators unafraid? That's what blows me away. They do these things, these double middle fingers right in your face all the time, right in my face all the time without an ounce of fear. And you know what? Before I get to someone who's challenging one of these guys, you know what? They're right. They shouldn't be afraid of us. What have we ever done to show them they should be afraid of us? Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney got 71% of his last primary vote. 71%. These people, the truth is, and here's the harsh truth, these people understand exactly who we are. They do. That's why they do this. They know they can betray us, spit in our face, pass these bills in the dark of the night, and they know the GOP primary voter, again, this doesn't apply to you, you're the hyper-informed, you're different, but the GOP primary voter will go out to the polls once again, if he even bothers to show up in the primary, which most don't, he'll go out to the polls once again and say, Herb, who are we voting for? Oh, John Cornyn? I saw him on TV. Oh, yeah, Cornyn. He talked about building a wall in his commercial, Herb. If we don't start getting smarter, better, if we don't start getting, frankly, angrier and making these people afraid to lose their power, we will lose the United States of America. The red state GOP primary voter is the problem. Start making your senator afraid to betray you. Now, there's one right in front of us. Right in front of us. We have an opportunity right here, right now, to make one of them afraid. Here's Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker.
The bottom line is that America's interest in this war is clear. We need Ukraine to win, and that means giving them the tools to prevail. Cutting our support would cost us far more in the long run.
That's interesting. You know, that gentleman is facing a primary right now. Right now, as we speak, are you mad about that Senate bill that they passed in the dark of the night? No money for you, money for them, no money for you. Are you mad about it? Do something about it. Oh, well, Jesse, what do I do? Gannon Burton joins us now. Colonel, United States Marine Corps, and Semper Fi to him, and a man brave enough to challenge a sitting United States senator. You want that piece of trash gone? Well, here's your option. Gannon, Colonel, forgive me. Why are you running against Roger Wicker?
Well, to just make it very simple, the country I love and fought for 30 years is being destroyed and disassembled by a bunch of people who have sold us out to the globe.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
And Chinese Communist Party and other foreign interests. And it's obvious now. The corruption that is in Washington, D.C. currently has a group of selected leaders running our country, and they're not holding government accountable to service. They've actually turned the weapons of the government that are supposed to be there to hold criminals accountable against the American people. It's never seen anything like it in my lifetime. I think there's always been some level of corruption, but right now it's at a point where it just looks treasonous from here. And I can't even visualize my grandchildren getting to grow up in any semblance of a free country. Our country is sold out so bad. Our borders are open. 100,000 people a year are dying from fentanyl that's coming through that border. It's killing so many people that it's affecting our recruiting goals. And because of rigged elections and frankly, just cowardice from those people who've taken offices of high esteem and praise, our country is in a situation where 75% of the services are only making about 75% of the recruiting goals, and I think it's going to get worse. We've got to make a change. We've got to send people up there who will tell the truth about what is going on in their government, hold the government accountable to serving us, and then get accountability for just all of the dastardly things that have been done over the last 3 years since the rigged election in 2020.
Colonel, I'm glad you brought up just treason, because that's what I think of all the time when I see these guys like Roger Wicker on the Senate floor. They're supposed to be on our side, supposed to be fighting for us. But I see this guy talk, and all I see is somebody, he's not mindful of America the way you or I or people watching are mindful of America, what's best for America, what's best for Americans. Every time I see that guy talk, you know what I think? I think that America never crosses his mind. I think it never crosses his mind, patriotism, whatever. I think he rolls his eyes at people like me and you behind closed doors. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, and it kind of shows when he goes off to Davos and hangs out at the World Economic Forum. Now, President Trump went to Davos as well, but he went there to tell them that the future belonged to strong nations. Roger Wicker went there to suck up to them and what I believe is feather his bed. And we're seeing that with this Ukraine funding. Realize this Ukraine funding is actually funding a global national security apparatus that intends to bring about a one world government. They are vicious, they're evil, and they're destroying the American middle class. Why? Well, they've said in their own literature that the number one impediment to a global one world government is the American middle class. And so the American middle class is under attack, and they're actually killing us and our children with this fentanyl coming across the border, and then the death and despair that they're bringing through economic ruin.
How's Roger Wicker on the border? Is he a real border hawk protecting this country?
Absolutely not. And he's lying now, saying that he supports closing the border twice when President Trump was there and had all the necessary support required to close the border and build the border wall, he voted against Trump's border wall. Why? Because the globalist elites, which he is aligned with, and the Chinese Communist Party, who has been bought out and sold as well, I believe, whether he knows it or not, that's against their interest. Their interest is cheap labor in the United States and frankly, an underclass that supports a group of elites who have appointed themselves into power.
Colonel, you brought up the recruiting numbers. They're horrific for the service right now. The retention numbers are even more frightening. What I hear from my Marine brothers, Army brothers who are still in is, it's not good, Colonel. They're getting their 20 in, 30 in, and they're checking out. They're finishing their four, and they're checking out. We have a retention crisis that is going to cause some real problems in our military.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here running for U.S. Senate in part because of that. Realize that once they rigged the election and they ran the coup on January 6th, which I saw in person from a little bit of a distance there, I recognized that our country had been taken over by frankly, people who were aligned with foreign interests. So right after that, you came in with DEI, which is another reason that I needed to leave. But the final straw that finally I had to run away and get out of there within 3 months is they tried to poison me with a vaccine that we know doesn't keep you from getting COVID, doesn't keep you from spreading COVID, and now it has documented harms. Dr. Teresa Long has shown us the data where we've actually got 1,000% increase in the number of heart failures among military pilots. Now, who wants to join that when we've got these cowards in senior leadership positions that are still letting their service members be poisoned by a vaccine that we know is not only ineffective, but causes serious harm, including death?
What's the hardest part about leaving the Marines, about being a civilian now?
Well, you're kind of in a bubble because you're surrounded by such great people, right? You're just used to getting up every day, and no matter what you're dealing with in lifetime, you know, you're surrounded by a bunch of brothers, and they're extraordinary people. And for me, I was in the fighter pilot community, and these were just the best of the best, and they were completely brave, and they had to be honest because you can't be good and rise in that world unless you're dealing with reality and facts, and you become a great critical thinker because you have to deal with so much information that's going on. You got to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff and all that good stuff. So that's hard. I can tell you, I had more anxiety walking down the streets of Washington, D.C. my last year when I was stationed at the Pentagon than I did when I was walking down the streets of Fallujah, because in the streets of Fallujah, I was surrounded by Marines. If something happened to me, I knew they would jump in there and help me out. But, you know, that last year in D.C. in 2021, it just looked like there were a bunch of crazed predators walking around the nation's capital. And so it's probably that. I can tell you it's good being back here in Mississippi. It's just, you know, Mississippi can only hold out for so long when our federal government is this corrupt. And I think I think God is just saying, hey, you've got air in your lungs. I let you get up today. You need to do what you can to save this country that all these other men fought and died for generations prior. And so this is what I think I can do. This is what I think I'm supposed to do. And I can promise you, if things weren't critical in this nation right now, I wouldn't be doing this. If I thought the politicians, the normal politician, could handle it, because there are some good people who are trying to get involved, but I don't think they can, because I don't think they're armed to take up this corruption. And you have to basically commit your life to this, because we're going up against the forces of pure evil at this point. And I mean, these globalists, I think you're probably aware of some of the things that they've done and the people they've compromised and the Jeffrey Epstein list and all that. Those things are going to have to be taken on. The only way that's going to happen is if men of courage step up and do the job.
Colonel, if people are angry with Roger Wicker today and want to support a United States Marine, how can they support you in this critical primary?
So the biggest thing you can do is, if you know anybody in Mississippi, call them and tell them about me. Tell them to go to burden4ussenate.com. And obviously we could spend hours here if we had it to tell the whole story. But I wrote a book this summer while I was firefighting out west called Mississippi Top Gun. And that book basically lays out the story, but then it also lays out a way ahead for the country. And really, it's very simple. It's about courage. It's about recommitting yourself to your faith. And then once you have faith and you accept God's grace, then you'll have actual courage to take on what needs to be done here. And we're going to have to turn to God, and we're going to have to, you know, humble ourselves to God. But then we're going to have to get up and accept that he's going to judge us on his timeline and not ours. And we have to stop spreading lies. And I'd ask folks out there, too, you know, just stop whispering about the stuff you see going on. The things you see going on are happening. Your country is being betrayed. We did have a rigged election. These vaccines are killing people. Don't say it under your breath. Don't hold back. Tell the whole truth, and the truth will set us free. I promise you.
Amen. Colonel, support you. Semper Fi, sir. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you. You mad? Let's do something about it. do something about it. All right. Speaking of sending money overseas, we got inflation numbers today, and they're horrific. You see, that money that heading to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, that's all just borrowed and printed. That means everything in your life will get more expensive because of what the United States Senate did in the middle of the night last night. Let's talk to Carol Roth about the inflation numbers in a moment. Let's also make preparations for what is going to be undoubtedly a rocky financial future at some point. What is that point going to be? Are we going to wake up tomorrow and the bubble popped? I don't know. I hope not. A year? 10 years? I don't know. I know that unless you have things in your physical possession that have value, I know you're up a creek. That's why I tell you about precious metals. It's not because I like it, like the shine or jewelry or something.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It's not because I say you need a bank vault or gold bars or something ridiculous like that. No, don't go crazy. Call Oxford Gold Group. Let them get some gold coins or silver coins in your physical possession. They will mail it to you anonymous, insured. You don't need a bank vault. It's really easy. Right now, you might qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Let them get it in your IRA, your 401k. Don't give away your retirement for these friggin' people. Call them. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. All right? Oxford Gold Group. We'll be back.
These aren't the kind of numbers that you guys want to see, an increase on the monthly, annualized, and core inflation rates.
You know what? I always look at the data picture. Don't overly weight one data point, and the overall picture looks good.
Absolutely. You see, maybe you're worried about rent or food. You don't see the picture. See, it's the overall picture. I don't want to hear about your grocery prices. Joining me now, the amazing Carol Roth, to break down this unmitigated freaking disaster. Author of the book, You Will Own Nothing, which might have something to do with what we're seeing today. Carol, did you see the whole picture? I hope you're not focusing on little things like rent. It's the picture, Carol.
Yes, I have a very clear picture of the data picture, and that is a nation that has $34+ trillion in debt, that has debt to GDP at an emerging market in crisis levels. We have deficits to GDP at more than 2 times historic averages. We have a personal saving rate that is down well below historic average. We have record household debt. We have increasing credit card delinquencies, inflation where the middle and working class can't afford the basic cost of living. Housing supply isn't there even if you could afford a house, and people working multiple jobs. So that's the picture that I'm looking at. And it looks a little bit more like the gates of hell than the sunshine and rainbows that Lael Brainard might be looking at.
Carol, okay, it's very clear that the administration is going to try for a tactic that is odd, but maybe it's the only tactic they have. Here they are, shrinkflation is what they're saying.
Growth is strong, wages are rising, inflation is down. In fact, the costs have fallen from a gallon of gas to a gallon of milk. We know prices are still too high because of what I call greedflation and shrinkflation.
Carol, I despise Biden, so maybe I'm just extremely biased, and I admit my biases, but tell me that grades on the average American who can't make it. They're watching, as you just laid out, their standard of living disappear as the credit card debt rises and the savings shrink, and the president's blaming Doritos?
Shrinkflation. He was in the pool, Jesse. He was in the pool. It was shrinkage. Yes. It's crazy. Certainly, there has been shrinkflation, which is, you know, that bag of Doritos that you used to buy that had, you know, 100 Doritos in there now has 80s, or the candy bars half the size. But that is not in the numbers. In fact, it is basically trying to work against the numbers, because the cost of everything has gone up so much. And we just said that savings are down and debt is up on personal balance sheets. Consumers can't afford to keep pace with the cost of living. So they couldn't afford to buy the Doritos bag if it had the 100 Doritos in like it did before. So the manufacturers are basically making a trade-off and saying, well, we're going to have to price it at the level that they can afford it. And that means that there's going to be less in it. So it is a derivative impact of all of this ridiculous monetary and fiscal policy that folks like you and I have been, you know, screaming about for years, saying that this was going to be the impact, because it was utterly predictable. All of this was utterly predictable. All of this has been a wholesale transfer of wealth from Main Street to Wall Street. All of this has been a gift to allow the states and the federal governments to continue to be bloated and do what they want to do and give the big people more power. And that's the intention. And you are paying for it, whether it's a higher cost of living or getting less for what it is you pay for. But it's their policy. It's not some greedy corporation. Corporations didn't decide that they are going to be greedy this year and last year and not for the rest of time.
Carol, you wrote a piece about our love of debt and how it's getting, quote, dangerous. What do you mean by that? How dangerous are we talking? Obviously, the debt crisis is coming. There's probably nothing that can stop that now, or nothing that will stop that. But what do you mean by dangerous? What are we looking at?
Yeah, I mean, JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon calls it the most predictable crisis in history. The rating agencies have downgraded the U.S. debt. The CBO, the IMF, the Fed, the Treasury have all said that we are on an unsustainable fiscal path. The latest CBO report, which came out within the last week for the next 10 years, is saying that not only is our debt to GDP going to reach historic levels, but in the aggregate, it's expected within the next 10 years to reach a level of $54 trillion. If we did not have the world's reserve currency, we would have been in a currency crisis as it is. But at some point, you can't just keep relying on debt and not expecting that it has the ultimate of implications. We've had a taste of it. We had that, you know, 40 plus year historic inflation. And, you know, they're trying to get that rate under control, but it's still compounded. But if the government does not get it together, we are going to be in something called fiscal dominance, where the fiscal policy dominates monetary policy, and there is just going to be consistent out of control inflation. And all of the decisions that are being made are all feeding into this. And it can be stopped if anyone had the political will to do so. But unfortunately, we're just seeing more and more of the same. Everybody sees the problem, everyone acknowledges the problem, but zero people are willing to address the problem.
Why? Is it just because the American people don't care, therefore the politicians don't care? And I ask a psychological question of a finance person, just because I find it so maddening, Carol, that everything you just said is so true, and it's not Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or middle. It's basic math. It's a guarantee. We are racing towards the cliff. The debt crisis that will permanently decrease our standard of living is coming, and nobody, Republican or Democrat, wants to do anything about it.
Yeah, well, finance and economics are psychological. So, you know, this is all very much related, but it just comes down to basic power and greed. It takes a lot of fortitude. It takes the willingness to say this may hurt me politically to come out and tell the truth, to say there is basic math that cannot be avoided. There are only so many ways that we can raise quote unquote revenue and only so much spending that can be made. And guess what? We made promises that we can't fulfill. Nobody wants to be the one to take away their own personal power, their benefits, their money, to be the one to stand up there and say it. And the people who are willing to say it, the folks like me and you who are saying it, we don't want to be a part of the political process because they have made that so completely unpalatable because, you know, they come after your family and they put you through the ringer. And you know, nobody who wants to be in that job should be in that job. And anybody who should be in that job doesn't want to be in that job. So we have this crazy dichotomy. Plus, we have an entire populace that does not have any economic or financial literacy, and that is by design. The education system, which our tax dollars have paid for, are teaching them, you know, social and emotional crap, and they cannot do basic math. They don't understand basic principles. And again, that feeds the power cycle because, you know, it keeps people on the government dole because they just say, well, I want to get my $1,000 stimulus check. And when people like you and I go, well, that's going to cost us more than $10,000 for the rest of our lives in terms of cost of living, people go, oh, no, I just want my $1,000. And that's why we're at where we are today.
Carol, all right, to wrap this up, you mentioned the credit card debt. This is one of those things, I can't get it out of my mind. It's gnawing at me. I was actually thinking about it this morning when I woke up. The credit card debt people are piling up. Game this out for me. How does that end? Because obviously people ringing up 20, 22% interest credit card bills, and then they're going to get to the point where they can't pay back those bills, or they're going to sacrifice other bills. I don't know how this ends, but over $1 trillion in personal credit card debt is a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it ends in one way or another that ends up being bad for the economy. Either it ends up that people are using all of their money to basically pay down these crazy interest rates, and eventually that principal, if they can even get to it, and so they don't have money to spend in other places, or there ends up being some sort of a crisis that comes on the back of this, and or many of the other things that have happened on the back of debt throughout the economy, not just personal an individual debt and consumer debt, but also things like real estate debt, which we certainly on the commercial side and particularly in the office sector, we have not gotten, you know, out of that potentially being a crisis. So far too much debt was issued when the prices of debt were low. Now the prices of debt are higher. Now people can't afford the cost of living. It ends up being this very vicious cycle, but there isn't a real good endpoint without something popping. And unfortunately, we've seen that over and over again, and we all end up paying the price for that.
Well, Carol, you are the best. I appreciate it. All right, Biden had some bad news today. That's good, right? Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about something uncomfortable, but true. You know that I've told you this before, I got diagnosed, if you will, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, with a fatty liver. My liver had, for whatever reason, it's probably hereditary, they thought. It just wasn't, all the levels weren't where they need to be. So I have to be proactive about my liver. We all do. Your liver matters. We all talk about our heart and our lungs. Your liver is the filtration system for your body. Are you caring for it? Making sure it's cleaned out, healthy? Jesse, how do I do that? Do I take a pill? No big pharma. No more of that. Get Liver Health Formula. Drug-free. Drug-free way to support your liver. All right? You're going to love it. You will actually notice a difference in how you feel. Of course, you're going to notice a difference in how you feel once you clean the filter and you have a fresh one in there. You feel better. Go to getliverhelp.com/Jesse, and they throw in a free bottle of omega-3s with it, so you help your heart and your liver. Getliverhelp.com/Jesse. We'll be back. All right, let's talk very, very quickly, because we have so much else we want to get to still on the show, about this Tony Bobulinski stuff today. Joe Biden's former business partner goes in, testifies what we already knew. This is why I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today, that, yes, Joe Biden was the big guy they referenced. Yes, Joe Biden was the head of this crime family. Remember, it wasn't Hunter's business. It's Joe Biden's business, and guys like Bobulinski and Hunter Biden, they work for Joe Biden. Okay, so let's just fast forward to the conclusion here. Joe Biden is a criminal. He has used his position of power to commit crimes against this country. What's going to happen? Oh, nothing. The GOP won't do anything about it. But Margo Cleveland will join us. She's a legal expert. She's going to join us tomorrow, and she'll break down more of this stuff in the way only Margo can. I just wanted to let you know that's what happened today. It's probably going to come to nothing, but we'll find out. All right? All right. I don't like scammers. You know that? I hate thieves. And I'm not a good person. I've never pretended to be, but I don't steal. And I hate people who steal. These timeshare companies that lock poor people into their timeshares drive me crazy. Are you one of these people right now? If you are, I don't want you to feel ashamed. You should know that this is the norm, sadly, in the timeshare industry. They give you the flowery brochure and the place on the beach, and hopefully you did enjoy it some. But what they never tell you, what they never disclose in the seminar is, hey, you're in this for life. We will charge you annual fees for life. We'll double your annual fees. Are you going through that right now? You don't have to stay there. There's a way out. And that way out is Lone Star Transfer. This is a family business. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They have helped over 18,000 people legally and permanently get out. You're one phone call away from being out, so make the phone call. 844-310-2646. Let them pull you out of that nightmare, all right? 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Staff identified the discovery of the second pipe bomb, and we found some very strange anomalies about the discovery of the pipe bomb. And I see on the screen there, you're showing the suspect of January 5th. Well, I asked Stephen D'Antuono, the assistant director of the FBI in charge of the DC field office, you know, did you use geolocation of the cell phone data to find out who that suspect is? And he said, I don't want to cause any conspiracy theories, but the data was corrupted. That's one of the oddities. The other thing is, if that suspect that's on the screen there actually planted those bombs, it was 17 hours before they were discovered, and they had 60-minute kitchen timers on them. I've asked the FBI, how in the world does a 60-minute kitchen timer set off a bomb 17 hours later? And they say two things at the same time, which can't both be true. The person who discovered the second pipe bomb was a plainclothes police officer. That person with the backpack went up to those cruisers, as I suspected, but just confirmed yesterday, and told them, hey, there's a bomb over here. But it's like they finish their lunch before they get out of the car and come over. You know, you have to show it and fast forward to make it look like there's even half a sense of urgency.
Look, I prioritize food as much as the next man, but I would probably put down my tacos to go examine a pipe bomb. That's just me. I know you're not surprised by this, but Julie Kelly's been doing some digging and some actual journalism work on this and has things to add. The great Julie Kelly, her Substack is declassified. Man, do you need to subscribe to that. Julie, what'd you find out about this dog thing?
So, Jesse, I was in D.C. last week. I was looking at the J6 tapes, and I was going way before when the pipe bomb was discovered because I was looking for evidence of a second protective detail at the DNC, like Stephen Sund, the former Capitol Police Chief, wrote in his book. So then all of a sudden, I see this bomb-sniffing canine and his handler, and I almost fell out of my chair. I had to rewatch it several times to make sure I wasn't imagining things. I had a couple other people who were in there take a look at it, and their eyes, you know, kind of bugged open as well. So here you have what clearly is a bomb-sniffing canine searching this SUV at 9:50 in the morning. So we were told by the FBI, to your point, your interview with Representative Massey, we were told by the FBI that the bomb had been planted there the night before between 7:30 and 8:30. So here again, we have more evidence of it now a canine that's trained to detect explosives missing that device, not just once, but twice. How is this conceivably possible?
Well, Julie, it's conceivably possible if the bomb wasn't there or wasn't a bomb. But you tell me, did I miss one of those options? Is there a third option I'm not thinking of?
I believe I'm going to go with there was no bomb. Because, Jesse, even if you look at this dog, now I have German Shepherds. This appears to be some sort of shepherd mix or breed. Those dogs are all over the place. They get in all sorts of trouble. So if there would have been this odd-looking device, it was white, you know, you could see the rest of the gray area. It's conceivable that this dog, and there were other dogs that had walked past, not trained dogs or police dogs, but just people in the neighborhood who were walking their dogs that morning, all of them missed this very odd. And this device, as you know, was in public view. It was kind of resting on top of some dead leaves and twigs between those two benches. So no human, no dog, no police officer, no Secret Service agent, no security, private security guards at DNC for hours discovered that morning until the plainclothes Capitol Police officer showed up, discovered it, and alerted his taco-eating colleagues in the driveway.
Julie, you know what concerns me a lot about this pipe bomb thing is the data being corrupted. This is now, I have confirmed this now with several different sources, that the geolocation data is corrupted, which begs the question, and one I keep asking, which entities in this country, private or government, have the ability to corrupt cell phone data? And boy, if we go down that rabbit hole, it gets a little ugly, doesn't it?
It sure does, especially considering that we know the FBI issued a geofence warrant on January 6th of all cell providers' Google warrant search to get the cell phone data from everyone in Washington, D.C. on the 5th and the 6th. So we're expected to believe the FBI chief, fresh off the Whitmer FedNapping hoax, this is Stephen D'Antuono, who is the Detroit FBI field office director. As soon as he got the Whitmer FedNapping hoax underway and successfully arrested his targets, then he goes to the Washington field office. And now later, he says he can't figure out who the pipe bomber, the suspect, is. And oh, gee, by the way, the data from this particular provider is corrupted. And he said, oh, that's just the FBI's luck. I don't think so. Doesn't add up.
Sure. Julie, let's switch gears here just because I have so much I want to try to get to with you. Okay, the Trump trial stuff. I get mixed answers from different people on which case is the biggest problem for him. I realize they're all felony cases. Most of these are in bad districts, so they're all a problem. I'm not dismissing any of them. But the classified documents stuff, I've heard from people who say this is the one where he's actually in the most trouble. And then I've heard people say, nah, this is the one where he's in the least trouble. Your Substack kind of indicates you don't think this classified documents thing is going to burn him. What's your take on this?
No, I never did. I always thought that this was the weakest case, even compared to January 6th indictment that Jack Smith has those four counts against Trump for January 6th. You really have to prove that these classified materials, first of all, that he willfully retained them when it's clear all of the records show how he and his team cooperated with the archives for months. They produced documents in response to a May subpoena. Donald Trump himself met three FBI agents and the head of the counterintelligence division for DOJ, Jay Bratt, at Mar-a-Lago in June of 2022, told them to look around Mar-a-Lago, anything you need, I will help you with. That's what Donald Trump told them. This is a guy who's willfully trying to retain records? No. And we still haven't seen these documents. Now, what's happening in Southern Florida, Jesse, there was a hearing yesterday. President Trump attended that hearing in Judge Aileen Cannon's courtroom in Southern Florida. These are secret hearings, not open to the public or to either side, to go through the classified materials, the that Jack Smith says Donald Trump willfully and unlawfully retained, but these are documents he also wants to keep away from Donald Trump. So he doesn't even want to be able to show Donald Trump and his lawyers and his co-defendants, they're not charged with willfully retaining these records, but he wants to keep these files away from Donald Trump himself. Well, Judge Aileen Cannon has been very tough on Jack Smith since the beginning. She has already ordered the unsealing of materials that she believes should be public record that Jack Smith is trying to keep under seal. So there's a real battle brewing here. The biggest downfall for Jack Smith, not only the weakness of his case, now the contrast between Joe Biden's egregious criminal case of holding classified documents for years, but now he's got Judge Cannon, who, unlike all of the other federal judges I cover, is not a rubber stamp for the DOJ and Jack Smith.
Well, it's nice to hear they're not all insane. Her Substack is declassified. Julie, very much appreciated. Thank you. All right. We're going to get to lighten the mood in a moment. Before we do that, you know how we have these specials that come out, history specials, specials on what's destroying us in the media and whatnot. Would you like to watch those on demand whenever you want? Would you like access to some things other people don't get access to? Go become a First TV supporter. Go to firsttv.com/support and sign up. You will enjoy it. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And courage is something, we've talked about it tonight on the show. It's something that's lacking in our society, obviously, but it's not gone. It's certainly not gone. It's not gone in the world today. There are brave, wonderful people all over the world. And as a light in the mood, every now and then we should celebrate these people. Like risking your life to save a baby.
Oh my God, I gotta get out of here.
Maybe I overstated with the risking your life thing. I guess risking a broken ankle still saved the baby's life. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.